I thought you were starting with bloopers tonight.
I thought I'd give you the chance to cue them up.
I'll tell you what, here's what's going on. We did a promo, a Christmas promo kind of thing, the four outdoorsmen, Sam, Mark, and I. And Brandon and Brandon was crazy enough to let us be in the studio by ourselves trying to do this thing. And all we did was laugh and make mistakes. And Brandon was going to start out with a couple of bloopers. It took us about 20 minutes to do this 15-second promo.
We are not professionals.
You got it out eventually.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, what do you got there? Got anything for us at all?
Yeah.
Check, check. One, two, on a mic. Here we go.
It is recording. Hello, this is Mark.
And Sam.
And Strewman. Oh, got to do it again.
We shouldn't say
that. That wasn't good.
This is Mark.
Sam.
And Strewman of the Four Outdoorsmen. Hello.
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 And
That's enough. That's enough, buddy.
Hold on.
Oh, one more?
Yeah.
This is Mark.
Sam.
Strewman of the Four Outdoors. That sounds like Stupid Man.
No, I didn't. You had to get that one in.
Oh, you can't get that one in there.
This
but
is
anyway.
Mark.
Sam.
And get it together, guys.
We tried. Anyway, we eventually got it done. It was a lot of fun.
And, you want to hear it?
This is Mark.
This is the
Sam.
Final.
And Strewman of the Four Outdoorsmen. Hello.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays from our houses to yours.
Hey, join us every Sunday night at 6 o'clock on Bob FM. And in the meantime,
get outside and make some memories.
That's pretty good, buddy.
Oh, that's so good.
That's pretty good.
That's a wrap.
I tell you what, laughing and learning on the Four Outdoorsmen. This is, I can't believe they pay it. Oh, they don't pay us for this, do they?
A little bit.
Not
a little
much.
Gas money.
Not much, but it's a lot of fun. Hey, thanks for doing that, Brandon.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for cutting a good, the harmony was perfect.
It wasn't bad, was it?
No, I cracked. I mean, hearing you guys fumble it the first couple times was pretty great, but then, I mean, you did nail it. So,
I tell you
well
what,
done.
You have to make adjustments because I'm the little tiny skinny guy. They thought I should do the high part. But how it turned out is I did the low part.
You have a way lower voice than I do.
Yeah, and Sam did the high part, but I thought it sounded pretty good.
Sam's got a beautiful falsetto. A lot of people don't know that.
He does. He sings pretty well, as a matter of fact.
You guys all do.
Where the hell is he tonight?
Yeah, where is he?
Where is he?
He is in one of those, so he took a new job 2 weeks ago, and he works for a company that makes some cool outdoor products, so we're going to hear more about that from him. But it just happens to be that they're doing like a weekend trust fall kind of corporate, like let's get together and build relationships kind of weekend.
So now he's a big shot.
That big companies do. So he called Thursday and said, you know, I'm so bummed, but he's gone. So
Sam Oftedal gets to take a night off on the Four Outdoorsmen whenever he wants. But Mark Fisher's in here every Sunday night for Real Talk Outdoors at 7 o'clock.
He's a true professional.
He's a true professional.
Well, that's why we have three guys, so we can take nights off once in a while.
You're right. How's your week, buddy?
It was a great week. My oldest son, Nick, turned 8 years old on Thursday.
I saw it.
And we did the best we could to make a wonderful birthday for him in these troubling times, right? I hate that. But
how many adjectives are there for COVID?
Oh, there's so
disturbing
many.
Disturbing and,
The new normal.
I just gag
every time I hear it.
I do too. I know they're running out of adjectives.
So we had a dinner for him. He wanted Chinese food.
Love Chinese.
So I picked up Chinese food. We got an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen. And he got some great presents. I'll tell you, outdoors related, I got him. He had a hand-me-down bow from his cousin, like a kid's compound bow. I mean, they're plastic ones.
Yep.
And but he's a lefty. So when we shot, we went up to look at that property and shot. He really enjoyed it. So I went to Fleet Farm and got ambidextrous, not amphibious, like you say,
yeah,
ambidextrous bow.
Yeah.
I had to switch it around a little bit. And so my mother got him a bow. My dad got him a nice target. So we spent a lot of time shooting bows.
And does he have any talent?
Yeah. For never picking up a bow, really, and going, he gets really frustrated when the arrows don't stick in the target, though. Because it's not the strongest bow in the world.
Right.
It's a kid's bow.
Right.
And so I keep the target in the garage heated. The first couple arrows slide right in, but then when the cold starts hitting, they start bouncing off, and that really frustrated him. But
do you think he's ever going to be an outdoorsman like a hunter? I know he loves to fish.
I do think so. I do because he likes spending time with me doing these kind of things. He's got patience, which is big. He can fish all day with no problem.
I know.
He likes doing this stuff and he likes learning. So I think that he will be an outdoorsman.
Cool.
So I'm excited. You know, and a lot of dads take their kids out, you know, hunting, like Sam has his kids in, in the blind for hours and stuff.
Right.
I haven't really done that yet, but I want to start. So
good for you, man.
Get them used to it. It's not easy for kids. They have constant electronics and distractions, and it takes special kids to be able to sit quiet for 2-3 hours.
I think it'd be much more difficult to raise kids today than it was when I raised Nick, Joe, and Mike. And I'll tell you what, and we didn't do a good job ourselves, and that was 30 years ago. And I'm serious.
Yes, you did.
It was hard. And they didn't have all the distractions. They had some of the same distractions that all kids have these days, but they didn't have all this technology that would – I can't picture what it would be like to try to prevent your child, 12, 13, 14 years old, to minimize their use of the cell phone and video stuff. It would be a torture every day.
I'll tell you, it's super hard right now, especially because nothing is open, right?
Yeah.
I don't like sitting around at home doing nothing. So on normal circumstances, I would take the kids swimming. I would take them out in the woods. I would do lots of things with them. But right now, there's just nothing going on. So you can only sit in your living room for so long.
Yeah, but we have something going on right now. We got Tim Lesmeister on the Four Outdoorsmen. Tim, welcome, my friend.
Good to be here.
I tell you what, you're down in Florida, are you not?
I am down in Florida right now.
And what did you do in Florida today?
I'm dodging the COVID right now is what I'm doing. Everything up north is shut down, and everything is wide open down here.
What's it like living in freedom?
Well, you know, it's beautiful because, you know, I mean, everybody's got their outdoor dining open, and the governor here in Florida doesn't seem to think lockdowns are smart, so he's not doing it. And, you know, I mean, it might be stupid. It might be smart. I have no idea. I don't really care. All I know is that I don't feel like I'm living in a very restricted zone. I still have access to all the boats down here that I get through Freedom Boat Club. I still have the ability to go into bait shops and get all the bait and tackle that I need. All the stores are open. And the fishing right now is incredible down in Florida. That's why I'm here. This is the time of year when everybody up north is gearing up for ice fishing. And I hate missing that first ice. I truly do. I'm seeing a lot of the posts on Facebook now. Ooh, maybe it would be nice to be up in Minnesota right now, but then I go out here like I did a couple of days ago, you know, 15 miles off of the shoreline of Hudson, Florida, and I end up getting into groupers and hogfish and snappers, and it's really nonstop action down here right now, so... I know, I guess you got to decide which which situation do you want to be in that you consider the best of the best, and right now I think it's Florida.
Hey, we're talking with Tim Lesmeister, and Tim Lesmeister, we've communicated a number of times over the last 4 or 5 years. We've never met. We started out with the Angler and Hunter, then Ticket Outdoors, now with the Four Outdoorsman, but our show has been going on for 7 years, and I love your writings, you know, and I follow you all the time, and we've text back and forth. We've talked a couple of times, and you've been on the show a couple of times, and I listened to you on Rob Dreisline's Outdoor News podcast, and you're on there quite a bit as well. But this guy here is the real deal, and I'm not going to kiss your backside, sir. You know everything you've done, but you started like in 1984 for outdoor sports, and you did television and radio and Twin Cities Outdoor Talk, and you've been around a long time, and you're an author, you're a writer, and you're Minnesota Hall of Fame fisherman. Congratulations on that. That just took place, right?
Yeah, that just took place last year. I really appreciate that honor. It's amazing when you join a tight little fraternity like that. Just, you know, you feel really good because you realize all of the things that you've accomplished. But when people say, I feel humble as well, you know, you don't understand it until it happens to you. And then you start to think, you know, it is a humbling experience.
Well, in addition to that, it means you're getting old, right?
You know, yeah, I am. There's very little doubt about it. I was walking down a trail down here in Florida the other day, and I had a tortoise catch up to me. I'm not joking. This is not a joke. I was walking down this trail, and I said to my wife, there were some pictures of the tortoises out on this trail, and I said, geez, I wonder if one of these turtles is going to come out. He must have heard me call him a turtle, and he came out of the trail and started chasing me down this trail.
That's funny.
I can't believe how fast they are. And I said, baby, I'm getting old. Yeah. This guy is making me actually breathe hard.
Hey, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but you're about 65, 66 years old and been married for
47 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. You got married when you're 19 years old.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Holy
buckets. If I got married when I was 19, I'd be divorced by the time I was 20. I mean it, because I'm a good-looking stud, man, and back then I was the real deal.
I got really lucky.
You good? Hey, I'll tell you, one of the other things, we'll talk fishing and hunting and black powder, of course. We got 10, 15 minutes with you or so, but I love, you love music, and I listen to you, I listen to your stuff, and one of your post stuff, and one of your favorites, my favorite songs is one you got, is Now You Got a Hold of My Heart, and I don't know who wrote it, and I don't know who sang with you, but it was just, music is part of your life.
Yeah, I actually wrote that song. I actually recorded that down in Nashville with some incredible musicians in an actual studio that the producer is from the Iron Range in Minnesota.
Really?
Of course, he's lived down in Nashville over 35 years. But he was born and raised up on the Iron Range. His name is Tim Thompson. He's one of the greatest guitar players in the world. And he's a phenomenal record producer out of Nashville, Tennessee. I work with him and his son. And I'll come up with half a dozen tunes. And the last time we got together, we just did an EP with three songs. And then I did another single with him here recently with a woman who provided the vocals to this tune.
Yep.
And he's just a great guy to work with. Whenever you go down to Nashville and you work with these musicians down there, you can't even begin to imagine the level that they are at.
Yeah,
and what they're capable of producing.
And how much competition there is down there.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I always feel, you know, really blessed that I get a chance to work with these guys. You know, it was funny because I played in a bluegrass band for many, many years. And then I started moving around, so it was hard for me to play in a band, so I started kind of doing my own thing.
Yeah.
But I was just playing covers and, you know, playing wherever I could, you know, sit in on an open mic or do a gig or two. And then back when it was our 40th wedding anniversary, so that would have been 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago now.
Wow.
My wife asked for a unique present. I wrote her a song, and people seemed to like it, and I realized I kind of enjoy doing it. So I started writing music about 7 years ago, and I've just been cranking out a lot of tunes these days, playing with a lot of great musicians and doing a lot of festivals. All my festivals got canceled here last summer.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I did a lot of virtual stuff. If anybody wants to see any of this stuff, all they got to do is get out their favorite search engine and look for Les Monster. It's L-E-S-M-O-N-S-T-E-R. And they'll find some live stuff. They'll find some Nashville recordings. They'll find some stuff I do in my own studio, and it's just having a lot of fun with the music.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I listen to a lot of it, and seriously, you got to check them out because it's fun. And I don't know the name of the gentleman who plays with you a lot of times as well. The videos are fun, and the music is good. I know you play at Madeline Island a lot when you're up here in the state of Minnesota. I'm going to come see you live someday, but in the meantime, we got to talk about black powder. I know you're a muzzle loader addict. Are you going to miss the season this year?
Yeah, you know, that's odd that I will. I'm sad because when they started doing this COVID lockdown stuff, I realized, you know, it's probably better for me to stay down here in Florida. I'm usually up in Minnesota for the holidays. So I get up there around Thanksgiving, and then I start cleaning all the muzzle loaders. I have a lot of muzzle loaders. And I start cleaning them, and I start getting, because muzzle loader hunting to me is the ultimate. Now, we've got a week left in Minnesota, just a few more days left in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You've got till the 9th in Wisconsin. You've got till Sunday up in Minnesota. If you've never muzzle loaded before and you didn't get a deer here during the firearm season, you can get a muzzle loader now, get loaded up on ammo. That's one of the beautiful things about muzzle loaders right now. You can still get ammo because all it consists of is some Pyrodex pellets or some gunpowder that you pour into the barrel, and you drop a bullet in there, which are easy to come by, ram it in with a rod, and then pull the trigger on a cap. It's right now, if you try to get any kind of ammunition, the shelves are bare, but you can still get the stuff you need for black powder.
You're right. Yeah.
Pick up you've got all of this next week to hunt, and I'll tell you, if you didn't get a deer during the firearm season, you still have an opportunity, you know, another 6 days to try and nail down a whitetail, and you can do that with a muzzleloader.
Hey, Mark's got a question for you.
Hey, Tim, Mark here. I used to go, my dad had a muzzleloader he built himself from a kit, and when I was a kid, he'd always bring it, and he would hunt muzzleloading season. Have you ever had a beautiful deer go up in front of you and you hear a pop? Nothing goes bang? Because that's happened to him, and I learned a lot of words.
That happens to every muzzleloader hunter, especially if it's damp.
Yeah.
If you're hunting and you're in damp conditions, one of the things you have to do is you have to take a balloon and cover the end of your barrel with a balloon. That'll keep all of the powder down in the barrel as dry as it can, because it's not so much about water getting down into the barrel. It'll condensate in the barrel because, you get the barrel cool and then it warms up a little bit and then it cools down again. And the barrel will condensate on the inside and it makes the powder wet. But the main thing is the cap. A lot of times the cap doesn't go off because it's one of those deals where, do I put the cap on and walk around with the gun, or do I wait until I see the deer and try to slip a cap on? You're almost never shooting at a running deer when you're muzzleloader hunting. You just don't have the opportunity to do that. You've got one shot. You got to make it count. And so you're definitely trying to set yourself up for that perfect 40-yard broadside shot. But, yeah, every once in a while, if it's wet out, if it's damp, and you pull that trigger, that cap doesn't always pop.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you and I have something in common, Tim, because I was reading about your background, your bio and all that, and you are not a sitter. You don't have the patience to sit in a tree stand for 6-7 hours. You like to stalk, even with a muzzle loader. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm a stalker.
Attaboy.
And that's the thing about the muzzle loader season, and that you have to realize this, is that most of these deer, after a hardcore firearms deer season, they become very nocturnal, which means they're moving around at night, and in the daytime they're bedded down. So what you got to do if you're a muzzleloader hunter is you got to be prepared to move, and you got to move very slowly, very silently, and you have to look for those deer that are bedded down. Mm-hmm. They're not that difficult to find, especially if there's a little snow on the ground. That's why I like hunting up north with the muzzleloaders, is because you can track these deer right to their bedding sites. And you've got to be real careful, because those deer will hear you coming, and all of a sudden you'll just see a little ear flick. And all of a sudden you'll see a head pop up over some grass, and they're looking around. And at that point, you better be dead still, because you don't want to be shouldering that rifle or cocking that hammer. You got to make sure that you're dead still.
I tell you what, I can tell right now, honest to God, Tim, listen, I can tell you're getting excited just telling that little story, because I can, honest to God, you're seeing visions in your heart. I know that's happening right now. As a matter of fact, I've never got a deer with a recurve bow 45 years ago, something like that, and I hadn't hunted with a bow since. I'm 69 years old. Now I got an opportunity to use a crossbow, and I am going to hunt now the rest of the season, and I'm going to do the same thing that you were talking about with a crossbow. I don't know if I can still hunt and stalk a deer and get one with a crossbow, but if you can get one with a muzzleloader, I think I should be able to do that.
If I was using a crossbow, I would probably be putting out some trail cameras, and I would find out when the deer are moving and pick the one that is going to be where I need it to be at a particular time of the day, so that I could get that great shot with the crossbow. That's the beautiful thing about trail cameras today. You can set them up so that they send images right to your smartphone, and you can actually see if the trail is being used, when the deer are coming through. If it's a nighttime situation, you're pretty much out of luck, and you got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
But if they're coming through during the day and it looks like one that you want, man, you just got to make sure you're there.
It's funny you mention that, because we don't have any snow up here right now, and it's hard, and they're so hard to see in the first place with all the background. And just today, actually yesterday, I got my first trail cam. My son's got 125 acres in North Branch, and I got a trail cam that came in the mail, Amazon, what the hell it was. I think you need a college degree to put this damn thing together. So I brought it to my buddy Mark. You know, I got a quarter inch book of instructions for this thing. I don't know what to do with it, but I'll figure it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, they are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember the days when we had to go out and pull the cards and bring them home and, you know, stick them into a card reader and do all of that stuff. And it was always these, you know, very low quality black and white stills. Yeah. But even before that, we had to literally go out and scout ourselves, visually scout the property, put up scrapes and stands. Now, here's the thing. People have given up on all of that stuff. They say, I'm not going to go out and put those mock scrapes up, and I'm not going to go out and scent my property. I'm not going to put any effort into it because I've got the trail cam. Yeah. But you know what? If you take the trail cam and use some of this other stuff, then you might find out that together it work a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to actually give that deer a reason to be on this property.
You bet.
And if they're just passing through, they're not going to stop unless you've got some mock scrapes, you've got some doe scent, and you've got some, because these deer may not be rutting right now, but there's going to be a few late ones, but they're definitely going to stop, and they're going to think about what other deer are here right now. I'm picking up scents that, you know, as I pass through here that are new to me, and I'm going to hang around here and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Tim, I just love talking with you. We had a conversation just yesterday, the day before, and I could spend hours with you just BSing.
Yeah, I know.
And because it's a lot of fun. But we're going to wrap it up because we have John Thielen coming on pretty soon. And
will you say hi to John for me? This guy's one of the amazingly efficient jig fishermen when it comes to going down an 8-inch hole.
He's a great guy, and he told me to say hi to you as well. You take care of yourself, and tell your wife I think she's a special woman to put up with you for all those years.
We both have them.
Take care, buddy. Good to hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, we'll see you guys later.
You bet. I'll call you again. Take care of yourself. Hey, be right back with John Thielen on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the 4 Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Magnum is now hiring CDL drivers in Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Lakeville, St. Cloud, Bemidji, Duluth, and Wilmer. Full benefits, health insurance, 401k, and PTO. Go to drivemagnum.com to apply. Veteran-owned and operated.
The 4 Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now, it's all about ice fishing, and here, there's no walleye slot limit, and keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And pound-for-pound jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says, Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome! Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely gonna help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, babbel.com.
I heard the phone, so I rung. John Thielen, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hi, Drew. How you doing, buddy?
Every day is truly a gift, and I mean that sincerely. I say it way too much, and people think I'm a bullshitter, which I am, but I say it because I firmly believe it, because we are so blessed to be alive every day and be able to make the decisions we make, because that's what life's all about. And one of the decisions I made is to have you on the show again tonight. Thanks for being here, friend.
Oh, you got it. Thanks for having me. Was today a heck of a nice day or what? I got some work done outside that I wouldn't have thought I was going to get done till spring.
I golfed yesterday.
No way, really?
I did. I golfed at St. Croix National in Hudson, Wisconsin. And I brought a hammer and some nails to be able to pound holes for the tee in the ground. But we had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
What's new with John Thielen?
Well, just waiting for that ice to get a little thicker.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've told you guys this before. I got some friends that were on Red Lake this weekend. They caught some fish, went really good. But they said it was like ice fishing at the state fair.
Oh, I imagine.
And I tend to be the guy who says, I'm going to wait just a little bit longer, let everybody get spread out. And when that happens, then I'll get on the ice and get to work. Yeah. It's just a little bit more of an average start this year. We've gotten, 2 years in a row, we've had that early start, which I think has spoiled all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And, we're not really behind. We're just right on normal schedule this year.
Hey, John, Mark here. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. Good to talk to you, Mark.
So when you go to a place that's packed, is it tough being John Thielen and going to a place where there's 1,000 other fishermen? Do you get any fishing done?
Well, I can always get fishing done. And let me tell you, I absolutely enjoy spending that time, shooting the bull and just talking to people and enjoying the social aspect of it. But it's pretty hard to get any work done. It's with all the ambient noise and such. When I'm filming Fish Ed, we'll go out, ice fishing, and we'll drill a lot of holes until we land on what I believe is going to be the right spot. And when we land on that spot, I want to set up and fish it. And, when you got crowds out there, a lot of times, from what I understand on Red this weekend, there was a lot of just trying to find yourself a square 12 feet to put a fish outside.
It's not like the Brainerd JC's thing where just 1,000 people out there.
That's crazy.
So, no ice shows this year. So that's whenever I get my John Thielen time, is because I've seen you at every sports show, I think, in the last 8 years, and I at least get to talk to you for a little bit. So what's your thoughts on that? Is it bad for the sport? Is it okay because there's other ways to find new products? Or what are you thinking?
Well, I guess I feel like it's bad because that's the time we really get to connect with people on a personal level. Now, with that being said, industry-wise, people are fishing. People are fishing more than they've ever fished.
Right.
I mean, we've had things like kids' sports taken away from us, and so many of the things people like to do, and it's brought a lot of people to the outdoors, and that's a great thing. So, from an industry standpoint, things are selling, things are good. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any companies out there that would tell you in the outdoor world that it's bad. But I would say from a personal standpoint, I enjoy that connection with people. And I've missed the shows this year. You know, it started when they unfortunately had to cancel the Northwest Sports Show.
Right.
And, you know, then ICAST down in Orlando was canceled.
Yeah.
And
it's big time there,
we
yeah.
just kind of kept going that direction, and there was just nothing that could be done about it. You know, let's just cross our fingers and hope that, you know, a vaccine comes along here soon that can get distributed and we can get our lives back to normal. I think there's a lot of us who would love to get our lives back to normal, shake hands with people again, and have that personal interaction. I know I'm one of those people.
John, my vaccine right now is Jameson, and I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. So
yeah.
we're going to make it. I'll tell you what, we just got done talking with Tim Lesmeister, and Tim's down in Florida having a good life, and one of the greatest guys I've ever talked to in this industry. And he said to say hi to John Thielen, and he said, John is probably one of the best guys I've ever seen with a jig through an 8-inch hole. That's what John.
Well,
yeah,
I appreciate that from a guy like Tim. You know, I worked with Tim. I mean, we go back a long ways to, man, the first half of my career. And, you know, I used to think of that as, you know, a few years back, but it's not that way anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Now it's decades. You know? Yeah. So Tim and I, at one time when Tim was really cranking the articles out and working for everybody under the sun, Tim and I did a lot of work together, and man, what a great guy. In fact, Tim got inducted into the Minnesota Fishing Hall of Fame here recently.
That's right. Yeah, we just talked about that as well. So congratulations to him. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. Great for the industry. He's helped grow the sport, and just good person.
We're talking with John Thielen of Fish Ed TV, and if you haven't seen his stuff, you got to find it, and it's well worth watching. But you were mentioning something that's new coming on the horizon for you. What are you talking about when we talked a couple of days ago?
Well, you know, we haven't made a real big deal about this yet, so you're one of the first ones to really hear about it. People are going to hear a lot about this in the next 2 weeks. But
cool.
Number one, I will continue my role with Lindy, and I'm continuing to film and host and produce Lindy's Fish at Television. We launched our seventh season this morning on Fox Sports North. And, you know, it's been just a great run, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to that continuing on. But I had some opportunities arise here about a year ago. Some conversations started, and things sometimes happen really, really fast. And what we ended up doing is we've built another new television show. It is called John Thielen's Destination Fish.
Okay.
And that is going to be only, it's just going to be open water. We're not doing any ice. That doesn't mean down the road we won't do ice, but right now we started with open water, and we're really excited to tell everybody that John Thielen's Destination Fish will debut on Fox Sports North and Fox Sports Midwest on Sunday morning, January 3rd.
Wow.
At 10 o'clock. So Fish Ed will be on at 8:30. Then somebody runs in between us, and then we will be back on with the new show, Destination Fish, at 10 o'clock. And Fish Ed will remain that show where we do everything in our power to share secrets and try our hardest to teach people to catch fish with details and tactics and locations. And there will be that in Destination Fish, but you'll also see the lighthearted side of fishing. Destination Fish, we're going to chase a bigger array of species. And some of those species I'm not necessarily an expert at catching, but, man, I love going fishing for bass and for sturgeon and for catfish, and as much as I do walleye and crappie. And we've interjected those species into this new show, and we're just going to show people the opportunities that are right on their doorstep.
Exciting. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, congratulations, John.
That is cool.
Have two shows on there, that's great. I'm guessing it's one of our shows in between you, so welcome to the multiple shows on the Channel Club, and I know how much work it is. And what is the show going to be traveling to different parts of the country, or are you focused in the Midwest?
We're going to air on Fox Sports North and Fox Sports Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to keep us in that Midwest
right.
for now. We've looked at, at other potentials.
Yep.
But realistically, for me to bite that off in year one,
yeah,
is more than a guy can chew. I mean, it's, you know, I will tell you that when I first started doing Fish Ed, and I looked at the fact I had to shoot 26 episodes in the summer and I had to shoot 8 episodes or 10 episodes in the winter, it seemed like a daunting task with everything else I had going on. Man, I got to tell you, that was a piece of cake, because a daunting task was last summer I had to shoot 52 episodes of TV shows between the two. And you can imagine the days on the water. I mean, it's a lot of time, a lot of travel. And as I say all that, man, I certainly don't mean to complain, because I'm the one who bit it off and said that we could do it. And, man, did I have fun doing it. It was just a great time. And we ran across the Midwest catching fish and fishing for species that I don't always get to fish for. And you got your walleyes in there as well. You know, I mean, the species that I'm known for catching are in there as well. So, man, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of time on the road. And, you know, I'm excited for everybody to see it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, John, I'm really excited to see it too. I love what you do. I hope that you're going to be teaching people along the way, because you are so good at that. So I'm really, really excited to see it, and congratulations. And people don't realize how much work there is behind the scenes. People think, oh, you drive somewhere and fish for a day, but there's a lot of travel involved, especially during COVID. I bet you ran into a lot of hurdles like we did in that respect. So congratulations for getting that much work done.
Thank you. I absolutely appreciate it. I'll tell you, one of the things with the COVID thing that was the hardest was early in summer last year, there was very much an opinion that people didn't really want you in their communities out of the chance
right.
of spread.
Well, I imagine. Yeah.
And, you know, it did two things. One, it kept me a little closer to home. Mm-hmm. But two, it made it so that I was doing some trips where I would literally drive 5 hours, get to a community, not talk to a single soul, put the boat in the water along with my cameraman. We would shoot a show and drive 5 hours back home.
Right.
Because you didn't want to stay in a hotel.
Right.
And you didn't want to irritate anybody.
Oh,
you know, it was kind of twofold. And,
yep.
It was, there were a lot of those trips where you left the house at 3 a.m. and you got home at 3 a.m.
Wow.
It was something else, but again, you know, just a lot of fun, and we're really excited to bring this to fruition and put it out there. And like I say, you know, I've been asked along the way throughout the year, you know, what's the plans with Fish Ed? And my plans with Fish Ed are status quo. Just keep going. And like I say, we launched season 7 this morning, and I hope that we get many, many, many more years with that show as well.
I tell you, we're talking with John Thielen again with Fish Ed TV, and in first week in January, he's shooting out with Destination Fish. With all the stuff you going on, there must be some times when you come home and Amy says, who the hell are you? I mean, who is this guy?
I'll tell you what, when I met Amy, I was very fortunate. Amy enjoys the outdoors, number one. So on the weekends, a lot of times her and I will go fishing, okay?
Cool.
And you guys, Stu, you know this because we've talked about it. One of my hidden loves is golf.
Yeah.
So I try to sneak in a little bit of golf here and there. But really, she's always understood it, and I've been fortunate there. And, you know, I often say that she had a lot bigger hand in raising our kids than I had, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what, a couple of real short here. Number one, I went golfing yesterday in Hudson, Wisconsin. I got to tell you that. I love to golf as well. I'm not that good, but I'm good enough to make me come back. But before we wrap this thing up, I want you to tell me, we got about a minute and a half here, one good Ron Linder story.
I got to tell you, when we were about to launch Fish Ed, Ron and Al were and the group that we're putting together, Target Walleye, we're getting all that going as well. So I was in contact with those guys from a Lindy standpoint about that.
Oh, sure.
Ron was good enough to me to just share information with me about how to do TV. And you know, he didn't owe that to me. I mean, heck, I was about to become a competitor.
Right.
And he's a legend in the sport, and I'm just, you know, grinding away at trying to scrape out a living, you know.
Yeah.
So in the grand scheme of things, maybe the word competitor should be taken lightly, but he didn't owe it to me to give me the information he did, but he did. And a few days later, I got a book. His first copy of their first book that was published, I think, in 1973. It was simply called Catching Fish, and it was signed on the inside, Best TV Wishes, Ron and Al.
That's a nice, man.
And that sits on my mantle today.
Yeah.
I keep that right along with the PWT trophies and the tournament trophies from along the way. I've always kept that book because, really, Ron helped me a lot at that time, and he didn't know me well enough to owe me a doggone thing.
Yeah.
And he was just more than willing to pour it out. There's a whole ton of great stories about Ron out there all over social media right now. But I will tell you that I'll always hold that one really dear, because without that help, I don't know that we could have gotten Fish Ed to where it was, and that I could be moving forward with the next chapter with Destination Fish now.
I'll tell you what, that's a compliment to you as a person. So you're very blessed, and you deserve it because you've worked your butt off to get to where you are. So, you know, be humble, keep moving forward, but you are where you are because you're a nice man. I'll tell you what, John Thielen, Fish Ed TV, Destination Fish, he's been all over the place. We love you, man, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. And I can't outfish you, but I bet I can kick your ass in the golf course. So
you know what?
We got to do it.
We're going to try that out next summer.
We got to do it.
Let's do that.
Hold your clubs.
Take care, buddy. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, John.
Take care, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Here, we're going to be right back with Grant Spiegelmeyer. He's the Executive Director of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. Let's have some fun.
Magnum is now hiring CDL drivers in Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Lakeville, St. Cloud, Bemidji, Duluth, and Wilmer. Full benefits, health insurance, 401k, and PTO. Go to drivemagnum.com to apply. Veteran owned and operated.
Truman here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top five fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? Operatorcoffee.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved. Made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Are you ready for some ice fishing? Neil Freeman here to talk about our annual Bob FM ice fishing trip to Ballard's Resort. It's coming up Sunday, January 24th to Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, and we're going to go catch a bunch of walleye and sauger on beautiful Lake of the Woods out of Ballard's Resort in Baudette. Now, it's a little different this year. You provide your own transportation. There'll be no bus ride, but once you get there, everything is the same. All your meals are included, 2 days of guided ice fishing, all your ice fishing equipment, sales tax, lodging tax, all included for one price, $500 per person, and that's 3 nights accommodations this year rather than two. We'll stay Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, come home Wednesday morning. So get your friends together and sign up today. All the information is available at mybobcountry.com, and come join me for some great ice fishing in January 2021. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Ballard's Resort. Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back on the 4 Outdoorsman. Strewman here, Mark Lukey, our buddy Sam Oftedal. Took the net off, but he's got a good reason. And I'll tell you what, I'm kind of excited about this next guest. We've got Grant Spiegelmeyer, the executive director of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. Hey, Grant, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thanks for calling me.
Yeah. Now, you are in the Twin Cities right now, right?
Yeah. I'm based out of the Twin Cities. I travel up and forth to the visitor center up in Ely about once a month, but my office is down here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. My buddy Mark Lukey is next to me. He's the producer of the show, and we've been doing this for 7 years, and I told him where you're from and all the kind of things. Mark, tell him what your favorite highlight is of where Grant is from.
Grant, you're from Falcon Heights, correct?
Yeah, that's where I was born and raised, yep.
Do you remember Falcon Bowl on Snelling Avenue?
Oh, you bet.
Man, that was, I went to the U of M and I lived off Highway 280, and that was my favorite place in the world for about 5 years.
And why, Mark, why?
Well, you could bring your own booze to the bowling alley.
I seem to remember that one of those lanes was angled left.
It was.
Like every time.
And they didn't oil it at all. You throw a curve and it goes in the gutter about 5 feet, and you had to keep your own score. But, man, I had such a great time. I had my college graduation party at Falcon Bowl. We're not
oh,
even kidding.
Goodness.
Oh, God.
Oh, anyway, that's my 2 cents. Here's Strew.
But he's done. He doesn't talk much on
that's
this show.
That's all I got.
Hey, Grant, how old are you? You got to be older than Mark. How old are you?
I'm 48.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So you guys have shared.
Just a little bit.
And I imagine you parked a few cars in your yard near the state fairgrounds.
We weren't quite close enough for the parking. We could walk to the fair, but we didn't. The parking, they would park along the street in front of our house, but we couldn't make any money from it.
Jeez, that sucked. But it was a lot of fun anyway, I suppose. And
yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you're executive director of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. We have a hunting shack. Everyone knows about it who listens to our show on Mud Creek Road, just on the northeast corner of Lake Vermilion, and it's halfway between Tower and Ely. And I've been to the Wolf Center a number of times. I've been up there since 1961, and it's really, really a cool, cool facility and presentation. Tell us all about the Wolf Center.
Yeah, if your listeners haven't been there before, it's a really nice facility just on the east side of town.
Yep.
It's actually in an old U.S. Forest Service building. It used to be the place you got permits to go into the boundary waters, but now it's just our display. And you can go on in, and there's a whole museum exhibit called Discovering Wolves, where we give you some of the latest information that science knows about wolves and wolf behavior. It's very interactive. It's a very modern exhibit. You even get to go into a virtual reality interactive where you are tracking wolves from a light plane up in the air, and you get to it's so real it makes you nauseous. That let's just put it that way, if you're not careful. But it's a really nice exhibit, and then you can of course go out and see our ambassador pack of wolves. Right now we have 2 wolves in our ambassador pack, Axel and Grayson, and we've got 2 wolves in our retirement pack, Denali and Grizzer. And we're about to get pups this coming spring, so it's a good time to come out and check out the Wolf Center.
How is the COVID affecting you guys up there right now?
Well, like everybody, we're closed down right now. We're an indoor facility, and so we had to close down. We were open over the summer and into the fall at like 25% capacity. People, you have to pre-register, so you can, if your folks are interested in coming, they can go to wolf.org, and that's where you can find out if, when and if we're going to get to reopen, and you can also pre-register for tickets there online. And then, of course, you have to wear masks when you come visit. But otherwise, we actually did okay once we were allowed to open, even at 25% capacity. Most of the folks who wanted to come were able to squeeze in.
Are you getting now? What, under normal circumstances, you're open literally every day of the year for the most part. I'm thinking, but are you getting enough business in winter to make it worthwhile for you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's always quieter in the winter. Once we kind of deer season ends, the visitors kind of stop, dry up for at least a little while. There's some fun activities in Ely. They always do this big winter festival in February where you do snow sculptures, and that brings up some folks, and the snowmobilers come up.
We've got a nice dog sled race up there, too.
We're actually only open on the weekends in the winter, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Yeah. So.
Well, good for you guys. I'll tell you what, I've been going up to Ely since I've been 10 years old, and when you guys didn't do it, but because I know you started out in Oregon, a zoo in Oregon, then a zoo in Minnesota, and they started this thing about 1990, give or take, and when I was up there, I'm thinking, why would anyone want to build a facility to draw people to come and see wolves? I thought, there's not a chance in hell this thing's going to work, but it's been going along for a long, long time. Something's going right.
Yeah, we were founded by a scientist, Dr. David Meach, who's based out of the University of Minnesota, still works there. And he's, you know, kind of the godfather of wolf biology. He's been doing it for decades, and he developed an exhibit with the Science Museum of Minnesota back in the 80s. And when it was done traveling around the country, he wanted to find a permanent home for it and thought it made sense to house it in the place where wolves had lasted the longest, down in the lower 48.
Yeah,
and so he put it up in Ely, and they reopened the whole facility in 93. So it's been doing quite well.
Hey, Grant, Mark here. It's my understanding that the wolf population was pretty much hunted to extinction at one point. What year did they reintroduce a pack, or when were they reintroduced to the state?
Well, in Minnesota, they've never been fully extinct. Minnesota had a population of about 300 or 400 that lasted up in the northeast part of the state all the way through even the 50s and 60s when the bounties were pretty much wiping them out everywhere else. The only other place in the lower 48 that still had wolves was Isle Royal out in Lake Superior. But, yeah, so they've never had to be reintroduced into the upper Midwest. They've all just kind of grown from that core population. You know, once the bounty stopped in the 60s, then the population has steadily grown since then.
We're talking with Grant Spiegelmeyer, the executive director of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota, my second home, kind of. Who is your target customer to come visit you guys up there?
Well, we'll take anybody. You know, I tell you, you know, some people are going, tell me, you know, oh, you got to be a wolf lover to go to the International Wolf Center. And that's absolutely not true. You know, we really like to talk to anybody about wolves, even if you have a negative opinion of them or kind of frustrated with their impact on your hunting. You know, our goal is to really get good, accurate information out to wolves, whether you love them or hate them. We want to help you understand what real wolves are like, because we think the worst thing that has happened in the whole wolf debate is so many myths and misconceptions have gotten out there about what wolves do and don't do, both negative and positive. You know, frankly, there are as many kind of myths about wolves that, you know, maybe paint an overly rosy picture of them as paint them as fearsome killers. And so, you know, our job is to get anybody who wants to learn about wolves, see them in person. You know, of course, we think we're great for families and kids because they get a chance to see the wolves up close and experience our interactive exhibit. But we'll take anybody.
Yeah. Mark?
Grant, can you go over maybe one or two of the biggest myths that you constantly are facing regarding the wolf population?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, actually the one I'm hearing a lot right now is what you just said is, you know, when were wolves reintroduced here?
Yep.
You know, wolves were reintroduced into Yellowstone National Park back in 95.
That's what I was thinking.
Wolves, you know, they just passed a voter initiative in Colorado that says they're going to be reintroduced in Colorado in the next few years. But wolves otherwise have never been reintroduced anywhere else in the country. And I know a lot of hunters actually especially those out in the Pacific Northwest who are dealing with wolves in Oregon and Washington and Idaho. They were introduced into Idaho. There was a small population released into Idaho at the same time as the ones that were released in Yellowstone. But all the ones in Oregon and Washington just kind of naturally grew from that those populations. And actually the ones in Montana and then upper Midwest have all kind of naturally grown as well. So that's probably one of the myths I hear. And then, of course, the myth about them being kind of relentless killers that will just kill anything that moves, and, you know, that they kill for sport rather than killing for food. Really, there's no scientific evidence that they do that. You know, they will sometimes kill more than one animal if they get, say, deer or, you know, get multiple fawns in an area, and they'll kill multiple, but they will come back and eat that. Those carcasses after the fact, if they kill more than they can eat at one time.
Hey, Grant, I heard something in, you know, hunter circles. They always, of course, spread rumors or whatever, and I wanted to know if there's any teeth to it. They say, I've heard that one wolf can be responsible for about 50 deer killed a year. Is that, do you have any numbers, or is that a reasonable number?
So the stats I've got say that the average wolf will eat the equivalent of about 17 adult deer in a year.
Okay.
Now the thing where that gets a little tricky is that's an adult deer biomass. So if they're killing fawns,
right,
they might kill more fawns. You know, and that is one of the big times that wolves do impact deer is during the spring and when mm-hmm. all the fawns are out. You know, I would say 50 would be on the high end.
Okay.
That would be pretty rare. That would happen.
That's good to know.
I'll tell you this. I was going through some research, and I think in the 1960s we had about 400 wolves or something like that in the state of Minnesota. Now there's about 2,800 or so. Is that sustainable? Do we have too many? Do we get rid of some? Do we transfer some to other states? Can we handle that? What do we do?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I would say what we have right now is a pretty balanced population. The population hasn't gone up or down too much in the last maybe 10 years. It seems like their range has pretty much stabilized where it's going to be. They're not expanding too far. There are wolves that are going out into, you know, the southern part of the state or the western part of the state, but they're not establishing packs there. There's just not, while there's habitat, there's just too many people and too much human civilization for them to be able to really establish themselves well there. So I'd say we're in a pretty stable set right now of where we are. You know, could we establish a hunting season at some point again now that they're being delisted? Yeah, maybe that might happen. It wouldn't necessarily lower their overall population, though. And I think that's maybe something important for your listeners to hear is that, you know, when we had a hunting season before, really what you're doing is you're removing about the percentage of population in a wolf population that would die naturally anyway.
That makes sense.
And they reproduce very quickly, and so the overall population probably won't drop too much, even if a hunt got reestablished.
That's very important to mention. I tell you what, that's a good point. I tell you what, Grant Spiegelmeyer, Executive Director of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. If you guys ever get a chance to go up there, it's well worth seeing, whether you're a wolf fan or not, whether you're a hunter or not. It's a great learning experience, and it's a great family experience as well. Hey, Grant, thanks for taking the time, and thanks for doing what you do, because it's not an easy job, and especially during this COVID situation. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for the memories about the Falcon Bowl.
Did you ever go to that bowling alley, bring your own booze? Did you?
All right.
Never mind. Take care of yourself. Have a great day.
All right. Have a good night.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Right.
A cool guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything else. Of course, all the hunters, almost all the hunters want to get rid of all the wolves, and that's never going to happen. And he had to dance a little bit, but I think he brought up some good points.
Yeah. He seemed to have a middle-of-the-road perspective, which I appreciate it. He wasn't completely anti-hunting. He says it wouldn't affect the population too much.
Yeah.
So if it makes some people feel better, maybe they should. Who knows?
In all the years I've hunted up in Ely. Oh, good, Mark. You got sponsors?
Oh, we want to
sponsors.
Thank a couple sponsors here. Thanks for helping us do this show. Cat's Covers, McKay's Dodge, Operator Coffee, Clam Outdoors, Power Lodge, and Devil's Lake. Thank you, all of our sponsors. And thanks for everyone that rode in. Chris says there's 4 to 7 inches in Ely. And check out What's Working Now Facebook page.
Well, you must have one more thing to say.
Get outside and make some memories.
You got it.